Good morning, group.
Happy Sabbath. I have to say, first thing, I love each and every one of you in this congregation. I mean, what an incredible church family we have. July 4th was such a blast, and we're able to enjoy both the spiritual side of life and the secular side of life in a totally awesome spirit. Let's bow our heads. Father in heaven, we come before you. We know we tread upon holy ground this very moment. So we ask, Lord, that you would humble us and cause us to be your servants as we study about a man who was probably the most humble servant in the Bible. In Jesus' name, amen. When we think of the patriarchs, the following come to mind. We have Abraham, the man of faith. We have Isaac, the son of promise. And then we have, of course, Jacob, the father of the 12 tribes of Israel. But how many of us consider the great patriarch Imhotep? Imhotep. Let's look at the life of Imhotep, the great patriarch of the Old Testament. A, more space is given and written about Imhotep in the book of Genesis than any other. And B, there's not a single word of reproof against Imhotep. Indeed, the character of Imhotep is worthy of careful study. The nobility of character, his purity of heart and life, his magnanimity as ruler and brother, make him more than any other of the Old Testament characters an illustration of the life of the very Shiloh of which Sister White speaks will come through Imhotep's seed. Imhotep, Joseph. Archaeologists have uncovered tremendous sources of information regarding Imhotep, who was apparently the vizier or the prime minister of the pharaoh, Djoser. Imhotep, Joseph. Let's be reminded of Joseph's tremendous life, the wonderful character displayed by this man of God. First of all, as a son in Canaan, it didn't help Joseph's life that he ratted on his brothers. We find in Genesis 37:2, Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brothers. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought a bad report of them to his father. What a rascal. Number two, as a son in Canaan, favoritism by his father didn't. Genesis 37:3-4, where it said that Jacob loved him over the other 11 brothers, and in fact loved him so dearly that he gave him a tunic. We know it as the coat of many colors. And my goodness, how influential that coat was going to be in a dramatic form in Imhotep's life. His dreams made it worse. You notice the title of the sermon, Just a Dreamer. Dreams played an incredible influence in Joseph's life. And we'll get into that more in just a bit. That dream that was given in the scripture readings earlier, the brothers called him that dreamer. They hated him for it. And when Jacob gave him the garment, the coat of many colors, and he presented himself to his brothers wearing it in his innocence and naivete, they hated him all the much worse because they knew that Jacob had shown preference, which was not good on the part of Jacob's part. In Patriarchs and Prophets chapter 19, Ellen White says about Rachel's older son, pure, active, and joyous, the lad gave evidence also of moral earnestness and firmness. He listened to his father's instructions and loved to obey God. Eventually, the brothers couldn't stand it, so they sold him into slavery. And who did they sell him to? Well, the scriptures say that it was a group of Ishmaelites, slave traders, who happened to be along the way. The Bible says that his brothers threw him into a water hole, which had no water. At least that's what most scholars and archaeologists and Hebrew scholars tend to believe. At least it was a pit. He couldn't get out. He was spared death by Judah, who suggested that he be sold to slavery. We find that in Genesis 37, 26 through 27. Can you imagine the horror that this young man, Joseph, Imhotep, felt, the hopelessness, the lack of control over his rapid changing course of life? In just a few hours, he went from an innocent, naive, beloved son to a person who was actually considered nothing because he became a slave. He took this in as good a stride as he possibly could. He cried out pain to his brothers from the pit, "Please spare me. Why are you doing this?" And the Bible says they heard him not. To be changed to that of a non-person, a lowly slave, forced to obey every command, feel every thrashing of the whip, to endure the cruelties spewed by the Ishmaelite slave drivers on their journey to Egypt. Yet he remained faithful to his father. In Patriarchs and Prophets chapter 19, Ellen White says, "As he saw the merchants, the slave drivers, the dreadful truth flashed upon him. To become a slave was a fate to be feared worse than death in that day. In the agony of terror, he appealed to one and another of his brothers, but in vain." Sister White goes on to comment in chapter 20, "With a trembling heart, he looked forward to the future. What a change in situation his life now presented. From the tenderly cherished son to the despised and helpless slave, alone and friendless. What would be his lot in the strange land to which he was going?" And she finishes this paragraph with this line. Listen to this. "For a time, Joseph gave himself up to uncontrolled grief and terror." Think about it. His life had changed in just a few hours. He remained faithful to his father. He continued as a slave in Egypt to remain faithful to his father. Do you know that in the Talmudic studies and the ancient Hebrew text, the belief is, according to the Hebrew words used in Moses' original Hebrew, that he was sold at least 4 or 5 times before he ended up in Potiphar's house. Potiphar eventually bought him as a slave. From the time the Ishmaelites took him to the time Potiphar took him, 4 or 5 times he was transferred and sold as a slave. How dark and awesome this experience must have been. How frightening to become a slave, a non. One might think that such ill treatment, followed by the separation from his country and his kinship, would produce bitterness and hopelessness in such a young man. And yet the character of Joseph shines on. He was an overseer in Potiphar's house. We know the story. We know how Joseph became entrusted with everything in Potiphar's house, including Potiphar's wife. And we know what happened with that. Though a young man, he proved himself to be very industrious and trustworthy. He made the best of his situation, and God blessed him for everything that he did. He was very handsome in appearance. In fact, I ran across an item in which Muhammad in the Quran says that Joseph took half the beauty of the world and God gave the other half to the rest of the world. This apparently was how handsome and attractive this man was. Thus, Potiphar's wife was enamored. And she tried many times, according to the Bible, to seduce him. And in comes a second garment, which would dramatically change the course of Imhotep's life. The cloak of which Potiphar's wife grabbed as he leapt out of the house to escape the seduction. because he could not sin against God. She used that cloak, as the Bible tells us, to condemn him for attempted rape. You know, in that time in Egypt, that charge, if carried out and found guilty, was immediate execution. But yet Potiphar knew in his heart of hearts that Joseph could not have done a thing. That's how trustworthy he was. His character said it all. She tried time and time again, but he wouldn't give in to the temptation. As we go on through Joseph's life, we find, of course, that he was thrown into another pit because of this accusation. The dungeon of the prison. In Patriarchs and Prophets chapter 20, E.G. White says, "He held fast his faith and patience. His years of faithful service had been most cruelly repaid, yet this did not cause him to be morose or distrustful. He had the peace that comes from conscious innocence, and he trusted his case. He did not brood upon his own wrongs, but forgot his sorrow in trying to lighten the sorrows of others. He found it a work to do, seen in the prison. God was preparing him in the school of affliction for greater usefulness." And she says he did not refuse the needful discipline. What a man. Just a dreamer. In prison, dreams come into play again. What was it? The butler and the baker. And he explained and interpreted those dreams. And what happened? They became reality. They were fulfilled. "We each have had a dream, and there is no interpreter for it. So Joseph said to them," in Genesis 40, verse 8, "Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell them to me, please." He was offered the ability to take the credit, but he turned it away. He gave God the credit. The dreams are fulfilled, and yet Joseph is forgotten. We know the story. He then spends 2 more years in prison after the butler and the baker are released. Falsely accused, then forgotten by man. Many might wonder, why bother to be righteous? But Joseph maintained his integrity and was not forgotten by God. How often do we think that God has given us up and have forgotten our needs, our desires, our prayers? Just as he found favor in the eyes of Potiphar and the keeper of the prison, so he enjoyed favor in the eyes of the jail keeper, his overlord. And once again, his character shines through. Joseph becomes a prince in Egypt. What an incredible story continues to be this man's life. We know the story. Pharaoh has a dream. The Pharaoh probably was Joser, a tremendous power. In fact, Joser in the old kingdom of Egypt was probably the epitome of power, wealth, and influence, the zenith, the crown of Egyptian glory at that point. And here comes a man called Joseph to fill a need. Pharaoh presents his dreams. Joseph is brought before him. It's interesting to note in the scriptures it says that he was shaven and given clean raiment to present himself before the most powerful figure in the world at that time. He must have been pretty unkempt living in that prison. Probably knowing Joseph's character, he I'm sure tried to live as clean and sound life and healthy a life as he could. And he probably assisted all the other fellow prisoners and criminals in trying to achieve the maximum in health. But yet the Bible makes note, Moses says he was shaven and given clean raiment. Very symbolical as you study the life of Joseph. He was wise in his service to Pharaoh. Who was Pharaoh? The most powerful man on earth at the time. He was an idolater. He was a heathen. He didn't believe in one God. He believed in many gods. And yet Joseph bowed the knee and served because he was made vizier, prime minister, of the great Pharaoh for having answered the dreams. What an incredible change from one pit of life to the pillar of life, the pinnacle of life. He became second only to Pharaoh. Everyone had to answer to him. In Patriarchs and Prophets chapter 20, Ellen White says, from the dungeon, Joseph was exalted to be ruler over all the land of Egypt. It was a position of both honor, and yet it was beset with difficulty and peril. Think about this. She says, one cannot stand upon a lofty height without danger. And yet Joseph remained true to his character. The early teachings of Jacob and Rachel were locked firmly in Joseph's heart and were imprinted upon his character, his very being. We move on to find that Joseph's interpretation of the dreams were obviously true, came to pass. In fact, when you study the historical aspects, up until 1926, no one believed that Imhotep existed in reality as a person. But amazing discoveries were made archaeologically in Egypt and other records, and from 1926 on, we have found that, yes, God gave, or Pharaoh gave Joseph a name in Genesis, but in Egyptian hieroglyphic form and in the stories given by the ancient writers all the way from the time that Joseph lived until today, he was known as Imhotep, the vizier of Pharaoh. What an honor. What a privilege to serve the most powerful agent on earth at the time. In fact, if you study further behind the name of Imhotep, now there was another pharaoh later on named Imhotep, but we're talking about the prime minister of Djoser. Are discovered that in all the writings that they've come across, Imhotep is mentioned as the great physician, a great architect. He was apparently a tremendous politician. And he was also a lord over all of Israel. Or all of Egypt, I take that back. In fact, many Egyptian scholars and ancient writing experts say that Imhotep, being a great architect, was the founder of the Age of Pyramids. This was an amazing individual. He served in an idolatrous land. He served a people whose belief system in their societal norms would not even allow them to eat at the same table with an Israelite. And yet Pharaoh told him, everyone shall bow the knee at the name of Joseph. Everyone shall give him a salute. What a man, what a character. We find in the life and story of Joseph the value of a character. It was centered in faith and trust in God, devoted to serving God and man with honor and dependability, unwilling to be deterred by the hatred, betrayal, and forgetfulness of others, willing to forgive the wrongs committed by others, able to see the big picture, God's wonderful workings in the affairs of man. He was just a dreamer. And yet the dreams played such a major role in his life. In fact, when you think about it, he was the interpreter of dreams. His life record as we know it gives us these scenarios in which dreams played the major role in his life. First of all, the two dreams he relates to his family. Secondly, the two dreams he translates for the butler and the baker. And finally, the two dreams given to Pharaoh. The course of Joseph's life was much like the life of Christ. In fact, we're told in Sister White's writings that he was the forerunner of Christ. In fact, his character, both literally and figuratively, imitated the life of Christ. He was a shepherd. He was loved by his father. He was sent unto his brethren. He was hated by his brothers. He prophesied his coming glory. He was rejected by his brothers. He endured unjust punishment from his brothers. He was sentenced to the pit. He was delivered from the pit through a leader, though a leader knew he should be free. Who was that? Potiphar. The Bible tells us that Potiphar knew that Joseph had not committed the sin, and yet he was sentenced to 10 years in the pit, the prison. He too was sold for silver pieces. He was handed over to the Gentiles. Who were the Ishmaelites? The lineage of Ishmael, Isaac's half-brother, the founder of the Arab tribes. They were Gentiles. He was regarded as dead, but raised out of the pit. He went to Egypt. He was made a servant. He was tempted severely, but did not sin. He was falsely accused. He made no defense. Is there anywhere in the Bible, in the writings of Moses, where Joseph defended himself? Not a single time. He was associated with two other criminals. One was pardoned, and one was executed. Some associate the butler and the baker. I'd never heard this before until I did research, but some associate the butler and the baker with the elements of communion. The butler having served the wine, and the baker, of course, dealing with baked goods. Before their case is resolved, it took 3 days. Joseph showed compassion to all. He brought a message of deliverance in prison. He wanted to be remembered. He was shown to have divine wisdom, far and above that of any other man at that time. He was recognized as having the Spirit of God, and in my studies this week, I did not know this, but it's the first mention in the Bible of a man being filled with the Spirit of God. Joseph has this honor and stands out in history. He was betrayed by his friends. He was glorified after his humility. He was honored among Gentiles while still despised or forgotten by his brethren. He was given a Gentile bride. Was that after the life of Christ? Genesis 3:15, the church, the woman. And then, of course, after the Jews crucified Christ, turned away, the message went out to the Gentile bride. He was 30 years old when he began his life's work. He blessed the world with bread. In fact, he became the only source of bread for the world, and history backs this up. In my studies this week, I did not know this, when the famine struck, the whole world of the then known world came to Egypt for bread. The world was instructed to go to him and do whatever he said to do. Joseph wept. And finally, Joseph was given the name God Speaks and He Lives. Brothers and sisters, this man had a character beyond anything mentioned anywhere else in the Bible except for that of Christ. No reproof is found against him. What was the purpose of his life? What was the singular purpose of his life? The deliverance of his people. God had a timetable. God knew that a famine was coming. And we're told that he saved the lineage of God's people by bringing them into Egypt. That was his sole purpose. That's why God allowed everything in his life to come about. And we know that because when his brothers were revealed that he was their brother Joseph, he makes this awesome statement in Genesis 50, verse 20. But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring it about, as it is this day, to save many people alive. the children of Israel, the future children of Israel, could have stopped their lineage if they'd starved to death in the dramatic famine. In fact, archaeologists and historians tell us that the last year and a half to 2 years of the famine was so great that even Egypt suffered. But because of Joseph's blessing and his spirit and his knowledge and wisdom, they still had enough to get through. And the people chosen by God to be the lineage of the Shiloh, we're told in the spirit of prophecy, of the coming Messiah, was saved. And in fact, they ended up being blessed by Pharaoh's joy and trust and understanding of Joseph's life and his character. Yes, Imhotep brought his father and his brothers into the land of Goshen. And I'm sure Pharaoh must have loved Joseph, because normally, in a famine, one-tenth of the food was given back to Pharaoh. But what did Joseph charge? 20%, one-fifth. So I'm sure Pharaoh smiled upon him exceedingly well, because Joseph was smart enough to raise the taxes for that particular instance. I don't necessarily agree with taxation, but it has to be done. And in this sense, God's wisdom was used to help save those in a troubled time. In Patriarchs and Prophets, chapter 21, page 239, we find that Joseph, according to Sister White, illustrated the life of Christ. It was envy that moved the brothers of Joseph to sell him as a slave. They hoped to prevent him from becoming greater than themselves. And when he was carried to Egypt, they flattered themselves that they were to be no more troubled with his dreams, just a dreamer, that they had removed all possibility of their fulfillment. But their own course was overruled by God to bring about the very event that they designed to hinder. She goes on and on to say how Joseph's life was the forerunner of the great Messiah to come. Normally, when I ponder upon the life of Joseph being one of the greatest patriarchs, if not the greatest of all time, it brings me to tears, because he didn't deserve the way he was treated. And yet, he responded without revenge. He gave in to the leading of the Holy Spirit. He knew that God had a plan in his life, no matter how tough. What an example for our life. When we contemplate the life of Joseph, such a magnificent example that we could only live up to. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, so much for the wonderful life and example of Joseph, knowing that he was taken from the bottom to the top, that he enjoyed the extremes of life and gave you all the glory, that through his humility and obedience, we're given a lesson of what we too can achieve through your guidance. We ask that you would forgive us of our sin, cause us to submit to you, and to lead others to Christ as he did. In Jesus' name, amen.